I'm going to sincerely pray right now that anything that comes out of my mouth is good, is true, and that it is edifying. I suppose at this point in my life, that is what is worth living for, bringing glory to our Lord and edifying you folks. Ron said a lot of things that were awesome. One thing he said is he was talking about sonship with the Father, association with the Father. And I do know this to be true. I do know this to be true, that our association with the Father as members of the fullness of his Son is the most unique position with the Father that has ever been given to anybody, including principalities and powers. I do know that to be true. And so what he was alluding to is a very, very, very great thing, a very precious thing. That's why I call myself Huiothesian. I mean, you know, I'm nothing great, but the Lord has showed me some great things. And that's one of the great things. If you folks want to get into yourselves as being so closely associated with the Father, you'll find in your calling that it's through the Father's grace. It's through the Father's good pleasure. It's by the work, the will of the Father, his heart, through his Son. These things have never been before the mystery, have never been presented before. Not that the adoption in Romans 11 isn't a great thing and isn't unique in itself. It's just that this mystery brings along with it riches that are unfathomable. And so, including Ron was talking about resurrection, there is something unique to our resurrection. There is no doubt about it. I don't believe it's the same as found in Corinthians or Romans. It's different. And so that, whether that be a hard question or not, it is something that I believe the Father wants us to set our minds on, to understand. You know, we do know things about the Almighty God. We do know that he doesn't hand out things willy-nilly like he would to a two-year-old. He likes people that dig and dig, and he rewards those that dig. And that's a principle that certainly is in vogue today in our calling, no doubt about it. And so Ronnie also mentioned the people of the world, and Paul was talking about it in 2 Timothy, lovers of self, high-minded, proud. Ron was saying, you know, people are so vexing anymore that, like he said, they can be people that don't even want to work for their existence, but they have an arrogant attitude that they are alive and therefore they are owed. And that is so ungodly and it's so ridiculous. But our government hands things out to folks like that. And so everything is topsy-turvy. I mean, my mom and dad never could have thought that. My grandma and grandpa never, ever, they went through the Depression, they never, ever would think that they're alive and so they're worthy of something just because they're alive. Wow, what a radical change of thought in our society. But as Ron was saying that, I thought this. Praise the Lord that we know the difference. Praise the Lord that we know the Father's will and that we're involved in the Father's will and we know better and we're not like such folks. You know, praise the Lord for that. I mean, really. And, you know, I think I mentioned it a lot. Hey, Life is a spittle in a pan. Bang, bang, you're here, you're gone. And so we do not want to, in my opinion, we do not want to put asunder the great gifts, the great knowledge that we've been given in this period of time at all. And so Ron was touching on some beautiful things there. Folks like that in the world really, really vex me. They vex me. They vex my wife to no end. I could go on and on about insurance companies and how immoral they are, blah, blah, blah. You know, just, you know, trillionaires as opposed to people that can't eat and that are on the streets. It's pretty wild, but I don't want to go there too much. I want to say I listen to Pop's prayers all the time. Love them. Love those prayers. What I truly think about him and what he was saying today is there are things that happen to us that crush us. They crush our hearts and we don't understand them. We go on with life we have things that are our infirmities that we don't understand why they're there. We pray about them. They still are there. And so, and many, many other things. I don't know personally what all of you are going through, but, you know, I do know why. One reason why is because of who you are in Christ, in the Father. And so we have a battle going on. We have a battle in the flesh, and we have the battle in the spirit. And so, but the rewards that are coming, Paul said in Romans that they're not worthy. In Romans, no less, not even in Ephesians. They're not even worthy to be compared with anything that we have gone through or will go through. Now, either we can rest in that, believe it, or we can trust in ourselves. And I'm gonna say to everybody that when you are brought to a point where when you're brought to a point where there's no strength in yourself, that is a tremendous opportunity, no matter how it feels. It's a tremendous opportunity because then you have to trust in the Lord. There is no trusting in your riches, in your brain, in your abilities, in your skills, whatever. There is no trusting in that. You have to trust in the Lord, literally. And so I think that we go through things in order that we do understand the sufferings of Christ. I believe that to be true myself. Not that we're going to be crucified or anything, but that we do suffer the things he did, slanders, being maligned by a wicked world, many, many other things. We do go through those things. But as we do, I do know this, that when the rug's pulled out, nowhere to go, you have to trust in him. And that's an awesome thing. That's a great privilege. And so there's a lot of if you're there or you were there or whatever, there is a lot of messages on that. And I'm going to say this, that you're going to be diving into the Psalms. You're going to eventually read the Psalms. You're going to understand David. You will understand the life of David and what he went through. You might not have the Hittites attacking you or the Canaanites, but you have a spiritual army battling in you. And so when you read about him and how he was brought low, 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 and had he had enemies on every side, read about it. Well, I can see us in that. And so that's a spiel. I just had a sitting here listening to Ron, thinking about you folks, thinking about the world and the things that are going on and thinking about our calling and who we are in him. I just had to flap my chops on that one. So I hope that that, like I said, I hope that was edifying for you. Now we're going to go into another lesson talking about heirs, heritage, and inheritance in the scriptures. I guess I'm going to say this, that what I just spoke there, let's call that my opening prayer, okay? And so a little bit of a review. We know that Christ was an heir to many things. He heir to universal domination, heir to the nations, heir to the throne of David, heir to all things. We studied weeks of years in Daniel. We went over that. We're in the 67th year. We went through that. Last time, I think we went through, hopefully we went through at least a somewhat thorough explanation of Romans 11 and what that was all about, calling by faith in the Acts period and the calling as that the inheritance being the New Jerusalem, which is a very interesting study in itself. Brings you back to Abraham and that he saw a city back in the Old Testament, which is amazing in itself. And so we discussed what I'm going to do is I'm going to discuss a couple of things that I went over. And then depending upon how far we get, I said last time we were going to go into our calling and the Greek words involved in it. And that's pretty interesting because all of these words were put forth by God the Holy Spirit. He is God, and he worked through Paul, and he put forth these words in the Word, the precious Word. But last time, let's turn to Romans 11, if we would, 13 through 21. And I don't know how far we're going to get. I don't know how far we're going to get into our calling. But I just thought I ran into a couple things, and I thought that I should go back and just run over these things. And, you know, I don't have the answers to everything, but, you know, you guys are studiers. You guys are students of the Word. And so maybe what I say will, you know, bring on a light bulb in your brain or something like that and say, hey, I was looking at that the other day, and you might have a greater answer than I do. Hey, I have no problem with that whatsoever. I really don't. I really do not. I don't care who I learn from, if it's true, really. And so let's turn to Romans 11, 13 through 21. And last time we were discussing branches being broken off of the holy root, right? And wild branches being grafted in because of what? All right. And so we have this this inheritance or this calling going on in the book of Acts in Romans 11. And let's look at it again. The question being that I asked last time is what or who is the holy root? And remember, if you do remember, I kind of said, well, you know, that might be a little confusing. But now I think I might have a better answer to what and who the holy root is. So Romans 11, 13 through 21. Thanks a lot, Tony, for being there. You know, you guys down south are interesting. Romans 11, 13 through 21. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, which are Israelites, right, and might save some of them. Okay, so Paul loved his fellow brethren, fellow Israelites. He knew that they were rejecting the Christ. He knew that they were rejecting the precious blood of Christ, and his heart went out to them. You know, I mean, you know, let's say you had a brother, you loved him, and he was rejecting Christ. You know, that would be hard to take. Verse 15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? It's like if the Israelites rejected Christ and then they were cast away, but then they were brought back through faith, it would be like they came to life from the dead, I think is what Paul is talking about, right? I mean, that's like us. The wages of sin is death. Hey, before you knew the Lord, you were a walking dead person. That's a fact. No matter how nice you were, what was going on, you were a walking dead person. And so I think Paul is talking about his brethren that if they were cast away, but then they came back through faith, it was like being raised from the dead. And if some of the branches being broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Okay, so the question is what is the root and the fatness of the olive tree? Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Okay, so what or who is this root is the question that was asked by me, even to myself. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Okay, so why were these branches of Israel broken off? Well, because of unbelief. There it is. Why were they broken off? Because of unbelief. Well, unbelief in what? Unbelief in who is a better question. They were broken off, and thou stands by faith. Oh, be not high-minded, but fear. All right, so, going out. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. All right, so, what and who is the holy root? Well, it appears that to be a part of the holy root, which was not the nation of Israel, how could it be? How could it be literally the nation of Israel when they rejected and crucified the Christ? How could they be holy? These are some of my thoughts, you know, and you don't have to agree with them. But I'm saying that the holy root is a person, because in order to be part of the holy root, apparently from what the scripture says, is that you have to have belief through faith. And if you don't, you're broken off from the holy root. And so, the holy root is Christ, is what I'm going to say. The holy root is Christ. They rejected Christ by faith, and they were broken off. And Gentiles during the book of Acts, and any other Israelite that chose to, could come to the holy root by faith. But is all Israel cast away? No, they're going to have another chance. And so that's involved here. All Israel, as Ron spoke forth, will be resurrected again. But that is something different than what is being talked about here. And so even, and we don't have to turn there, even in John 15, the Lord talks about himself as being the vine. And he talks about believers as being the branches. That's something you can look at. And so I believe this. I believe that the holy root is the Christ. And did Israel have a part in bringing the Christ here? Did Israel have a part in the holy root? Well, yeah, of course. And we won't read this, but we could read about the virgin birth of Mary. In Luke 1, 26 through 33, we don't have to turn there. But we can understand that Mary, an Israelite, bore God in the flesh. And though so, therefore, God came through Israel. You can read about Joseph in Matthew 1, 1 through 16. And he came through the line of David. Well, David was the king of Israel and was a type of the Christ. And so, therefore, the person of the holy root was brought to fruition or to life through Israel. Yeah. Yeah. But what happened is they killed the prophets, they killed the son. And they killed the workers of faith. And so, therefore, how could a holy root be called Israel during the book of Acts? them being in rejection of faith in Christ. And so those are some questions that run through my mind when I read this for understanding. But I'm going to put forth that I think the holy root is, in fact, the Christ. Okay, now let's turn to another interesting something that I ran over in Matthew 21. And again, you're like, when are we ever going to get to our calling? Well, I don't know. Maybe we won't. But I think that, I think that these other inheritances and understanding how God Almighty was dealing with various people all along in the history of mankind is important, because there are different callings. There are different spheres of blessing. Ours being an unspeakable one as far as the scriptures are concerned. I mean, really, we do not understand how blessed we are. We just do not. We do not understand, or I don't understand, how my piddly little 68 years is so blessed beyond imagination. I don't understand that. I don't, because, I have never seen the miracles of the world to come, but I am told that I will be the fullness of God in the Son, in the super heavenlies, right? And so, do I need to see a sign? No. Sometimes I wish I could. Sometimes I wish that I could heal the sick, like Paul did. But we're called by faith, right? And so our faith will be tested. There is no doubt about that. There is no doubt about that, and that is a great thing. Again, it doesn't feel good. You wonder why. You're taken low. You're in an abyss. You're in a dark place. But then you go to the Lord in prayer, and He lifts you up. I do know about that. I can tell you that. And so we turn to another interesting inheritance that I'm going to throw out here because it's interesting. Matthew 21, believe it or not. Matthew 21, and I read over this and I thought, what is that? Matthew 21, 33 through 45. Because I'm like, what is this? What is this inheritance being talked about? Okay, Matthew 21, verse 33. Here another parable the Lord spoke here. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. All right, so as we go on here, who is the Lord talking about? And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits thereof. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. All right. Who are these husbandmen that are beating these servants and killing them? And who are these servants? The last of all, he sent unto them his son. Who is that? I lost my place. Beat one. Again, he sent two other servants. Pardon me. Verse 36. Again, he sent two other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. Pardon me. And last of all, verse 37, of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. No doubt, right? But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Okay, this is interesting. This is what I'm getting at. Certainly, this is talking about Christ. And who are the ones that are talking about Christ here, right? They. And they caught him. Okay, who are the they being talked about here? Verse 38, but when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard came, what will he do unto those husbandmen? And they said unto him, we will miserably destroy the... Okay, well, it goes on to say a number of things, but certainly this is a parable, and certainly we have to question, or I do, I question this. I question, no doubt the husbandmen are the Pharisees. No doubt the servants of the Lord are either the prophets or the ones preaching Christ. No doubt the Son of God is being talked about that was killed by the husbandmen and they crucified him. My question is this. My question as I read this is that what is this inheritance that they're going to seize upon? All right, you could say, well, what kind of a question is that? Well, oh, yeah, well, if these are the Pharisees and they're going to seize on the inheritance of Christ, what does this mean? What is this inheritance? And I didn't know. But then a thought came to my mind, well, this inheritance is Israel. And this inheritance is God working through Israel. And if Israel as a whole would have accepted Christ, they would have been his inheritance on earth. But what were the Pharisees doing at this time? Well, they were really wicked men, and they had control over the nation of Israel. And they didn't want to have anybody mess that up. They killed the Christ, and they wanted to seize on his inheritance, which is the control of the nation of Israel. And this is what I think, because I can't understand this in any other way. And even though the Lord sent out apostles during the Acts period, they rejected them too, and eventually they were set aside. And so I believe that this is talking about the control of the wicked Pharisees over the inheritance of Israel. That's what I think that of what is being talked about here, because otherwise, what inheritance could the Pharisees seize upon after they destroyed the Christ? Okay, now, I'm going to say that is my idea. That is my idea. And so you don't have to agree with it, you know, but I ran across it and I'm like, you know, what is this, you know? And so, you know, if I'm right, that's, you know, what am I going to say? That's interesting. Okay, and if I'm right, well, then it answers the question. If I'm wrong, well, then then I don't have the answer to the question, and that's okay. I thought I'd throw that out to you as something that is a part of studying heirs and studying about inheritances. Okay, all right. So you know, and you folks, you might have better explanation to that. You might have more knowledge. Hey, all power to you. Speak it forth. It's great. All right. It's important to point out that all inheritances in the Word of God, I believe, are a product of the Father's grace, of his heart's desire, and of his promises. And why is this important? Because I'm going to state put forth that the promises have nothing to do with the law. The inheritances have nothing to do with the law. Okay? And why is that important? Well, Ron's been going through the law and grace in the book of Galatians, which is a tremendous book. And it is very important to understand what's being put forth in that book, because we can read about what the law was, and the law came after Abraham, and he was a man of faith. We know that. And so the law came because of a reason. There was a reason for the law, and it wasn't by faith. Now, that's a really important thing to understand. And if Abraham was a man of faith, and inheritances like the New Jerusalem came through Abraham by faith, then that is something really important to understand, as opposed to a law that, came 430 years after through Moses? I mean, and so we should have a real good bearing about how the Lord was working during the Old Testament, certainly from David on, or even from the time of Noah, or heck, you can all go all the way back to Adam, I suppose, right? But I think from Abraham forward, it's really important for us to have a bearing on how the Lord was working. And then furthermore, that's going to bring to a glorious light our calling. Our calling will smack us right to the ground when we realize how the Lord worked with them and then what he revealed to us. He didn't reveal these things to Abraham. He didn't reveal these things to Moses. He didn't reveal these things to the original 12 apostles. He didn't reveal these things through any believers during the Acts period. He didn't reveal these things to any of the prophets. I mean, think about it, you know? So it didn't have any of these inheritances or these promises. Don't have anything to do with the law. It has to do with grace and God's good pleasure. Let's turn to Galatians 3. And I'll prove it. And Ronnie went over this before, but I have to overlap this in my study, because it has to do with the law, and it has to do with grace, and it has to do with inheritances. And so I'm going to say this again. I believe the inheritances are a particular product of the Father's grace through faith, his heart's desire, and his heart's promises, and have nothing to do with the law. Galatians 3:16-29. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Abraham was before the law. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Wow. What? To thy seed, which is what? Which is Christ. How did Christ come up? Talking about Abraham. When? All of a sudden. How is that? What? You know, that should kind of, what? Now to Abraham. Oh, wait a minute. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after his promise to Abraham, I will put that in there, cannot disannul that it should make the promises of none effect. All right, so the law could not make the promises made to Abraham void. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. You gotta be kidding. What? But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Was Abraham a man of the law? No, he was a man of faith. Whammo. I mean, you know, that's how this stuff smacks me anyway. Wherefore then serve the law? Why serve the law? It was added because of transgressions, because of sin, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Okay, that's an interesting one. And it was ordained by angels. The law was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator, possibly Moses. Now, is the law bad? No, the law is great. The law is spiritual, though. And if anybody could be saved by the law, it was possible if they kept the whole law. every nit and tittle, but they couldn't. And so why would God give a law to a human being that they could not follow? I mean, you know, what's Almighty God trying to do to these people? You know, what's he doing? What's he doing to Israel, giving them a law that they can't be saved by? Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. But, for if there had been a law given that could have given life, truthfully, righteousness should have come by the law. Okay, so this is a lesson in understanding faith, inheritance. It has concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. All right, so faith came through Abraham. 430 years later, the law was given because of transgressions. And the law was given so that it would point to a person. But before faith came, who did faith come by? Well, by the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. That's who faith came by. And so the law was looking to him. And so then every sacrifice, every nit and tittle of that temple, the Holy of Holies, the priesthood, the sacrifices, the Lamb of God, all of those things point to a person, Christ. And so I think that God wanted them to realize this, but they didn't as a whole. All right. And so we can understand Israel and what went wrong. But then the owner of the vineyard sent his son, and they killed him. All right, and so that was part of that parable. Okay, so the faith that should be revealed in verse 23 is Christ the Lord. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And so God had the plan that his nation would be justified by the law? No. But that they would be justified by faith in the Son of God. And therefore, they would be the inheritance of God in his Son. But through their high-mindedness, and through their wicked ways in the flesh, they did not turn to the Christ, and they did not turn to faith in God. As simple as that. And so, they did not turn to him, and therefore they seized upon the inheritance of Christ. And they polluted it, and in a big way, they led it astray. Except for those who would believe in the blood of Christ, Romans 11, Jew and Gentile alike. For ye are all children of God by the law? No, by faith in Christ Jesus. I mean, you know, and their day apparently is to come, as Ron has said, and others have said, that they are not a nation of God right now. They are not being used by God to evangelize the nations. And so they've got problems in the flesh right now. And, you know, they are living in, what, week 67 right now. And eventually week 68 is going to begin. And Alan said that he believed that week 68 and 69 was going to be 14 years of the rebuilding of the temple. from what I studied, they're going to Israel is going to build a temple right across the street from that Dome on the Rock. That's what, that might be wrong, but Israel is going to build a temple across from the Islamic mosque, and they will be at peace with each other for a little while. And then the man of sin is going to rise and claim to be God. That's what I think in a very, you know, a very basic statement. It goes on to say in verse 28 of Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor Gentile, for ye are all one in Christ. Through the law? No. Through faith. And if ye be Christ, then ye are what? Ye are Abraham's seed and heirs. According to the law? No. According to promise. And so, I wanted to point that out. I think that's very important to point out. In the understanding of the law, is the law bad? No. And Romans talks about that. God forbid. But the law could not bring life because no human could follow it. And so who does that point to? Everything points to the only begotten Son of God in the Word of God. And we are the fullness of that only begotten Son of God. Man, we are so blessed. We are, I can't, you know, I sit here and I feel beat up in my flesh, but I can say that, and I can hold on to the fact that I am so blessed in Christ at the right hand of God, and I've been given such great knowledge. And I say this so that you can joy in what I'm doing. You can maybe joy in what I'm saying, no matter what you're facing. You know, no matter what you're facing, God's never going to let you go. Yeah, nothing can take you away from the love of God. Nothing can put down your calling. Nothing can destroy it. And you have the power of Almighty God. And so, you know, there's another. How can it be that God Almighty, creating the universe, take a look at that once, through some of these telescopes they're sending out there, how can it be that he can be that and I can walk around feeling like a weak noodle? How can that be? I think that all the time. How can it be that I can be this weak, Lord, and I can be your adopted son? How can that be? That doesn't make any sense. But what it does is it makes us reliant on him. Because otherwise we would be people like Ron talked about, getting worse and worse and worse in themselves. And their end is death, and it's coming quick. I mean, people are rushing to death. I mean, it's wild. And so, okay, and so, I'm just going to say this real quick. And, of course, our inheritance, which we will I'm going to have nowhere else to go next time. I'm going to have to talk about our inheritance, I hope. In our inheritance, we're going to be taught, you don't have to write this down, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2, and Ephesians 2, talking about our inheritance in Christ, talking about us being builded as a holy temple in the Lord. That's interesting. And I just have a thing in my brain about the Levites. I mentioned this last time that the Levites were not given an inheritance in Israel. And you're like, what? How could the priests of Israel not be given an inheritance? We went over that last time. Well, they weren't given an inheritance in land, but the Father said, "You are my inheritance," to the Levites. You are my inheritance to the Levites. And who are the Levites? Well, they handled being in the presence of God Almighty in the Holy of Holies. You are my inheritance. And the Father is saying to you and I, you are my inheritance. We are the Father's inheritance today. And I think somehow there's a connection there because, you know, and how can we surmise what we're going to be doing in the super heavenlies? Well, we're not told. You know, we can surmise this, we can surmise that, but then we can also look at what's written, right? God has built a holy temple in the super heavenlies. Is that true or not? Apparently it is. God is building us as a holy temple of the Lord in Ephesians 2. That's what it says. That's real. We have a calling in the Christ, and we are his fullness in the super heavenlies. That's for sure. And so, who's Christ going to be there? You know, that's, you know, what is Christ going to represent in the super heavenlies? You know, and so if he's going to represent something, well, then being his fullness, we're going to represent the same thing, I think. And so a lot of these things are good to think about. They're beyond our human comprehension. But, you know, the Lord sends us little bits and pieces, right? Now, why is he doing that, right? I mean, he doesn't show us a movie about the super heavenlies. Why not? You know, he doesn't sit there and give us a volume that discusses principalities and powers, what they look like, what we're going to be doing in the super heavenlies at all. Whatsoever. Why not? What's he doing, right? I mean, through my, you know, puny little brain, this is what I ask. Okay, but it's a matter of faith. And furthermore, human beings have a real bad heart. Our hearts are desperately wicked, and what we would do is we would learn about things and we would just throw them aside. That's the human nature of things. We would ground them asunder, like Israel did to the truth of God. We're no different. And so what we're going to do next time is we're going to get into our inheritance and how beautiful that is, and realizing that it's not of the law, and realizing that it's by the Father's great grace. It's a free gift, and it's from his heart. Now, how special can we be if we are a product of the Father's heart's desire? Who is he? And so, again, we go through things that don't make sense. We go through hurt. We go through heartache. We go through trial here. So did the Son of God. So did Paul. So did the prophets. So did the apostles. And so, what makes us think that we're, what, because we have microwave ovens and nuclear warheads and we can fly at 500 miles an hour, does that make us any different than them? I mean, so, are we saying that God works differently because we have all of these comforts in the flesh? Well, no, that would be an extremely worldly way to think. Some people that I have met at conferences call that old-fashioned. Some people say that we think in an old-fashioned way. Be very, very careful of things like that come out of human beings, because we stand on the truth of God, and we are in a low MI period, and it doesn't matter whether it's AD 70 or AD 2024, the truth is the truth. Be very careful of people that even are around that might claim to know things. They really don't, and they look at things through a fleshly brain. I hope that this made sense to you, and I'm saying to you that I really am, that I want to be edifying and bring glory to God and his calling, and I want to, we certainly need the love of you saints. There's no doubt about that. Diane and I need your love more than ever. We need your prayers more than ever. Seems like the older I get, the weaker I get. That doesn't make any sense to me. I should be wiser, more knowledgeable, but it seems, I'm going to admit it, the older I get, the more beat up I get, and so that scares me, and so it has me rely on the Lord, and it has me yearn for the prayers of my fellow saints. And I thank you very much. And our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all things. We really do, because in a wisp of time, we are going to be manifested in the super heavenlies and the only begotten Son of God. And that is true and that is real. Let us not have our faith be so beat up that we can't understand who we are in the Lord. Let us truly understand our identity in Almighty God through his beloved Son, the Lord and Savior in our head, Christ Jesus. Amen.